TML country. It's time to dance.
Markin for three. Got it.
For Shanahan again, she scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner, with half a second to go, and the Cats win.
Hey everybody, welcome to Catamount Insider. I'm Brian McLaughlin. This is episode 23 of our 25 episode year. Hard to believe this Catamount Insider season is winding down, but really fun episode for you this week is Jack Combs, a second year captain, third year player of the UVM men's lacrosse team, joins the show. Jack has been a defensive force for UVM throughout his Catamount career, but maybe none more so than so far this year in his junior season, with the Catamounts coming off a 10-5 win against UMBC last weekend and ahead of a big matchup on the road against Bryant this Saturday. I wanted to sit down with Jack, hear a bit about this year's team, his background in the sport of lacrosse. He's from Florida, but he's up here in Vermont now playing collegiately, so I wanted to hear about that, why he chose Vermont, and just learning a lot about Jack and his style of play was a really fun chat. So I hope you enjoy this one. Should be a fun episode of Catamount Insider. It's always a great time of year across University of Vermont athletics. Basketball seasons are winding down with the women's basketball team taking on Louisville tomorrow in the NCAA tournament. So really huge shout out to the women's basketball program and good luck to them, as they've been great about joining Catamount Insider a handful of times this year. But for now, I owe you a quick break. Jack Combs returns on the other side of Catamount Insider.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients, built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Hi everybody, welcome to Catamount Insider. I'm joined this week by junior captain of the UVM men's lacrosse team, Jack Combs. Hey Jack, how's it going?
Good, I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, of course. The team's coming off a 10-5 win against UMBC. Just tell me about that one. Obviously a great start to conference play to just get a win. Your defense was great, holding them to 5 goals. What went into that win?
It was honestly just a lot of preparation from the fall. I think we had a kind of rough start to the season. We had some hard games going into. We had Duke and UMass, kind of two games that really kind of tested us as both offense and defense. So I think kind of moving into the conference play, we really just focused on what we do and what our kind of fundamentals are for a Catamount team, and that is solid defense and few mistakes. So we really tried to translate that into this game as we move into conference play. We've been working as a defense unit, kind of finding the right matchups that I think we're finally starting to click. We got Ryan Daly really kicking it off in goalie right now. So we really trust him, and we trust Walters out, the faceoff X, to kind of get us those possessions. So those two guys are really doing a big impact, helping us kind of keep the ball on our end of the field, and then allows the defense to kind of make it easy when our goalie is making big saves like that.
Well, let's talk about this defense this year. I know you guys on that side of the ball have had to deal with some injuries. What's that been like? You've had numerous players go down and miss time, and I know you've kind of shifted around your position from long stiff midfielder to close D. What's that been like just dealing with some of that adversity so far this year?
Yeah, no, it's been hard. We were supposed to have Eddie back, I'd say, a couple weeks ago. Eddie Schwaznick tore his ACL last year, so he's been battling. He's been honestly just a dog, to put it like that. The guys just love him, love and respect all the work he's been doing. So he's about to be back soon. So maybe we'll see him this weekend, maybe not. We'll kind of keep that under the radar, yeah. So who knows. But he's ready to go when his name's called. And then Riker Damaris was a big loss this year. So just kind of those two guys. I had to move from long stick midfield down to close D. But Chase Gosdick and freshman Zach Chestine, they've really stepped up at the long stick midi position. They've been able to win us some possessions, kind of filling that role. And they've really embraced it and done what they can do. So respect to those guys. They've helped us kind of just have a good defense this year. And then once we get Eddie back, we'll be ready to keep rolling.
What's different for you about playing long stick versus playing close D? Can you just tell the people about kind of the differences they might not see there?
Yeah. So I would say the big thing I noticed was more of, it's kind of backwards. It's more flipped. So as a long stick midfielder, that's my kind of my specialty spot that I've been more comfortable playing in the whole time. I would kind of look at it from top down as the ball's coming down from the faceoff X or from transition, and I'm kind of able to lay off my guy a little bit. So I would get a little kind of some funny arguments with Mason Bardwell, who's a strictly close defender, about I can't get off my guy as much when I'm playing close defense because they're a lot closer to the goal so they can score. So I've been exposed a couple times with that, but really good help with Mason Bardwell and Coach Samuelson to kind of help me kind of get adjusted and reoriented to play it from bottom-up defense.
What do you like about the long stick position? Why do you think that fits you well?
I just like to move. I like the ball moving forward. I like to kind of play offense. Like, I was a basketball player in high school, so I really love just we win a face-off, push transition, try to get a shot. I'm not a big shooter, but when I like to move, I like to draw someone and assist. I got my roommate Max Frateroli down the lefty wing, so I love to push the ball in transition and kind of feed my guys, so that's my favorite part.
Don't cut yourself too short. I mean, I got you for 6 career goals here. That portion of the game I am kind of curious about, and I remember talking with Riker Detmarest about this last year. What are those moments like when you do have the ball and kind of get those chances to push it forward? Are there certain things you're looking for? Are there things the coaches are telling you to look for in those spots? I'm curious about how you read the play when you are in control of it there.
Yeah, one thing our coaches do a great job with is we kind of replicate that. So there's nothing new or nothing surprising when we're in the game situation. We do a lot of, we call it jumbo work, is our transition kind of game. So we kind of replicate that in practice and work on every scenario we could possibly see. So when it comes to game, guys like Riker, guys like me, guys like Chase, when we're pushing the ball, it's just routine oriented. So our main goal is just to draw a person and then feed our shooters. Like, our attackmen are the guys that get paid to score the ball. So our role is to feed them the ball. And our job is to basically draw that defender, make one more pass, the right play, and we have more than enough confidence those guys are going to finish those. So
now you mentioned Ryan Daly, who's really kind of taken over that starting goalie job. It was a battle, though. I know those guys were all fighting for that in the preseason, and there was rotating goalie play even throughout the first couple games of the year. From your perspective, what was that like, and what helped kind of Daly really start to take that job over?
To be honest, it was pretty stressful moving into the season. I mean, it's a good problem to have, I think, when you have so many high-level goalies that are more than competent to be able to get in and make plays in a game. I think our team trusted each and every one of those guys to step in when the time was come for them to make their plays. But it's proven just how much effect it has on Ryan Daly to have the success he's having right now, because he had to really earn that spot. And he was a starter last year, and moving into the fall, the other guys stepped up, and it was truly a battle every single day for the goalie position. So the goalie room was tense. It was competitive, which is awesome. It's what you like to see. Iron sharpens iron, and Daly came out on top, and we have utmost support for Daly to continue this season and play how he's supposed to play.
Now, for a defense, when there are kind of different guys behind you in goal, is that tricky? Is that something that you can kind of just play the set defense that you want to play regardless of who's in net? How does that maybe change things from your perspective and where you are on the field?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing as defenders is kind of just having that support, and I would call it vocal support from the back. Is you call when you're out there looking at where the ball is, trying to find your guy. I think the best goalie I want behind me is the guy that's going to be talking the most and the guy that's going to have my back when there's a mistake made or when there's a goal scored. Obviously, it's frustrating when a goal gets scored, and it's easy to kind of head down and point fingers and stuff, but one thing our entire goalie room does, and Daly's been exceptional at it this year, is kind of gathering us in a huddle after a goal scored and addressing the fix in kind of a constructive way so that we can all kind of understand and move forward.
You mentioned some of those non-conference matchups. Duke, one of the top teams in the country. UMass now ranked as well. From a defensive side of things, where have you seen the biggest growth for the team throughout the year so far, learning from some of those non-conference games?
I think the biggest growth for our team is kind of handling the long possessions. So obviously in the shot clock era, it's supposed to speed up the game a little bit, but with a team like Duke and their great offense, we had multiple 2-3 minute possessions, which I think really tested our defense to be able to kind of band together and play through it when we're tired. And obviously Duke is a great team, and they really took it to us that day, but the lessons we learned that day of how to just kind of band together and still make plays when we're stuck on defense for 2 minutes, 3 minutes at a time, I think that has just proven wonders as we move forward through conference play, and we're seeing kind of a different look and more of a slowed down game than a high speed ACC team.
Taking a quick break with Jack, he returns on Catamount Insider next.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients, built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Let's transition a little bit here. You're from Indy Atlantic, Florida. Tell me about just kind of growing up there, and when did you first start playing lacrosse, and what is lacrosse like in Florida?
Yeah. So it's different. You nailed the pronunciation, by the way, so it's awesome. We've been working on that. So yeah.
But it's execution right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. It's definitely polar opposite from here in Vermont. So it's really beautiful. I didn't appreciate it as much until I kind of left and came up here. So I got my family down there. I got two little brothers that are still there, my mom and dad. It's a beautiful town. It's more of an other sport focused area. Lacrosse isn't the top priority around there, which was kind of hard for me and my family, as that's basically our thing. But my dad started some club work, started some training stuff, and he really brought me and a couple of my friends that now play at the Division I level along, and allowed us to kind of compete in an area that didn't have much. So it really is all thanks to him and kind of the work he did in an area that didn't have lacrosse, and he kind of pioneered his way through that to kind of create an establishment for us to move forward in the game.
A lacrosse family. Did he play lacrosse? It sounds like it.
He did, yeah. He's a legend back in his day, so I respect him a lot. And then he coached at Colgate. He coached at he was with the Chicago Machine, the MLL team back in the day. So we actually started in Chicago when I was really little.
Got it.
And he was there, and then when they transferred to Ohio, that's when we made the move to Florida. But he's been around the game.
You've grown up with the lacrosse stick then in hand.
I think my first birthday picture, I have a lacrosse stick in my hand, so it's definitely been a part of my life.
When did you start kind of playing that long stick spot? And I'd imagine everybody is kind of the same size sticks as kids. And then when did that kind of start to happen, that you realized that the defensive side of the game was a good fit for you?
To be totally honest, I'm not hiding anything. I just wasn't good enough at offense. I started at offense, and in middle school, I had one of my best friends, Chase Bruno, RIT kid. He's now at Denver, and me and him were both kind of competing, and he was just moving ahead, and I really wasn't. So we needed some more defenders, and I kind of took on that role, and ever since I've really loved it, and it's just been something I've embraced.
Okay, that's really cool. What about Vermont then stuck out in the recruiting process? And was there any concern about the fact that you're going from down south all the way up here to the north and playing in wintry January and February months?
Yeah, obviously it was a lot of my friends and family. They were kind of scaring me with the cold. I got some family that lives in Essex over here, so they've been used to the winter weather. And I think we've been just told stories of how bad it gets here, but I really love it. I think what really drew me here was Coach Fifes. I think he is just a phenomenal person, just great character, and like true like example of what you want to be as a leader. So we have a really good connection, and I'm really grateful for that. But ever since the recruiting process, he's always been supportive of me, of my family, and kind of just super honest. And that's one thing I can appreciate in kind of the recruiting world, is just an honest coach. And he's kind of lived up to everything he's promised me, and I think I wouldn't be here without him, and I really just appreciate Coach Fifes, and I just can't wait to give him a championship on virtue this year.
Well, you mentioned you played basketball some. Did you play any other sports, lacrosse and basketball, any others there?
So I started with soccer. I think everyone kind of started with soccer when they were little, but then when I moved to Florida, I kind of played football, as that was kind of the thing in Florida. It was football or baseball, so you picked one of those up. Played quarterback for a little bit, moving into sophomore year of high school, and then I really took over basketball, and I was fortunate enough to have a great basketball coach and great team. And we went to our state semis my junior year, played well. I was the rebound and assist guy.
Okay.
I wasn't the scorer.
I was gonna ask, okay, that
exactly.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So I was a big talker, big defense guy. So I knew when to pass the ball, but it's taught me a lot of lessons in basketball that's translated over to lacrosse, and I really appreciate that.
Do you ever miss playing those other sports, or do you ever get out and play pickup or anything?
Oh, we love basketball. I think our team, it's whenever we have an argument or something, we'll head over to the rec center courts and we'll try to just play a little bit. But that's something we appreciate in the fall and the off season.
Sure.
As a lot of guys get together and we'll get a workout in, get some 5v5 going between classes, kind of get some friendly competition going. So we love that.
Who's the scorer then? If you're the rebounder and the defender and the passer, who's scoring the ball on the lacrosse team?
I hate to say this, but Walter's out, number one. No way. He's the best basketball player on our team, and I think he had a matchup with Sammy from the basketball team last year, and it was pretty close. So Walter Zhao is a legit basketball player, mm-hmm. and you'll definitely hear him when he's playing basketball, so he'll let you know.
Well, how electric has he been this year at the Faceoff X? I mean, 64% on the season. He's just been so good stepping in there. Really is his first time as the true starter. Just what's that been like for you guys to see him step into that role and take it and be such a dominant player for you?
Yeah, he's really embraced that role. I think it was fortunate enough last year for him to go against Henry Dodge every day, and they were kind of sharpening each other as the year went on, and we got to a point where they were both really competing. It was just one or the other was going to play, and Walter stepped in a lot of times last year, but this year he's really embraced the role of the starting faceoff guy. So we ride with him. He's one of the hardest workers off the field in the weight room, in the rec center when we're playing basketball. Mm-hmm. So we know his work ethic off the field, which is why the team trusts him to make the plays on the field. And he's been doing his thing. We can't complain when he's winning. I think his average is a high 60% right now, like you said. So if he keeps doing that, we're going to be in good shape moving into conference play.
Tell me about your role in some of those face-offs, because you step in there on the wings from time to time. What do you try to do to just help him out, and what are you kind of reading and seeing on those plays?
Yeah, my biggest job on the wings is really just to kind of get hip-to-hip with my guy and just give Walter the space to work. So I trust Walter, as he is one of the fastest clamps in the game right now. So if I see him kind of get the clamp and he is the advantage on the face-off, I'm going to box my guy out, give him some space to work, and then I have all the faith in the world that he's going to be able to clear that and get the ball to our offense.
When it is one of those 50-50 scraps for the ball, though, it feels like you have a magnet in your stick, man. You come out with so many of these ground balls. What are those battles like? And just tell me about how you can get better at kind of being the guy who comes out with a lot of those toss-ups.
Yeah, I think we're working with a lot of younger guys in the local programs here, and I think a lot of the things that I preach to them is, like I said, you just want to keep the ball moving. So a lot of guys are trying to kind of pick it up in the scrum and move backwards with it. And my mindset is just get the ball moving forward and I'll run after it. So my goal when I'm in a scrum like that is obviously my guys are having my back and they're boxing out and doing their thing. But I like to kind of tip the ball moving forward and then go chase after it, because that's where I kind of excel in my game. So, but it wouldn't be done without Walter and the other wings boxing out their guys. So It's a team effort, really.
All right. Well, you're a third-year starter now, and a second-year captain. You were a captain as a sophomore. What was that honor like, to be one of the leaders of the team as just a sophomore and to be named captain as well?
I was really grateful for it. It was a huge opportunity that I wasn't sure if I was ready for right away, but I had all the faith and support from my coaching staff, from teammates, and actually from former teammates. We changed kind of the voting last year as the team that was leaving. So my freshman year seniors and grad students, they kind of voted it down, which kind of showed us something that I needed to accept. It was obviously a chip on my shoulder from those guys as they were able to get me into that role. But it's something I stepped into and I really embraced, and I couldn't do it without the help of all my guys. Like, there was never really an issue with kind of getting people on the same page and stuff. So the guys made it easy, but it's just I've been grateful for the opportunity, and I've enjoyed joined being a captain with my other co-captains. It's been a good time.
I'm curious about some of those guys that maybe you learned stuff from. Who are teammates that you've tried to pick things up from throughout your time here?
Yeah, I would say Tim Manning graduated. He was a fifth year when I was a freshman, and he was kind of the model citizen, great guy. He's serving in the Army right now, so I think he's leading a battalion, so wow. He's doing his thing. He's a true captain on and off the field, so he was kind of that perfect role model to be a dominant student athlete, as you kind of just saw by his routine every day. And then another guy I would say is Brock Haley, honestly, and he's playing NLL right now. And he was more of less of a vocal captain, but more of just an example guy. And he kind of taught me just how to just play lacrosse and have fun with it. So he was he never lacked confidence. He never showed signs of emotion and nervousness. He just went out there and he's a baller and he balled. So he really taught me those two guys just taught me how to do your thing off the field, take care of your business, and then when it's time to ball, you just ball. So I'm really thankful for those two guys.
If you could give me some insight into the offense for this team, feels like it's a very deep attacking group. There are a lot of guys who have been scoring points for the offense. What was that like in the preseason and still in practice going against them? And kind of what can you tell me just about what's made them a good group so far this year?
Yeah, I think, like you said it, the best thing is that all the guys are scoring. It's not just one or two guys getting all the points. I think the beauty of our team right now is we have so many weapons at the attack and midfield position. So from practice-wise, it really helps us out, as we have so many threats that we have to take care of, which is kind of building us throughout the week as we prepare for game days. And then on game days, it's these teams we play, especially moving to conference, they're having great scouts. We have great coaches in the American East, and they're able to kind of scout and and limit some of our strengths. But the beauty in this year is that we have so many guys that are unselfish and willing to share the ball, so that whatever scout people are throwing at us, like, I believe we're able to kind of move past that. And if someone's not having it today, we have two or three other guys that are able to step in and get the job done.
You mentioned him earlier, Max Frattaroli, and that lefty shot. Pretty special shot there, huh?
It's beautiful. He was my roommate the past 2 years in the dorms, and then we're kind of neighbors in the houses right now as we moved off campus this year. But he was the NCAA stat leader for goals scored freshman year. He was up there last year. He had a little bit of an injury last year, and then world champion for Canada. So he's decorated athlete for sure, and he plays like it, obviously. So you can tell other teams' defense, they honor him when he's on the field, when he has the ball. A lot of focus is on him. So I really give a lot of props to him as he's able to handle that kind of big chip on his shoulder.
Who's somebody that's hard for you to stay in front of when you're guarding your own teammates? Who do you know is just going to be a real handful when they've got it and are trying to dodge?
I would say if Frat's on with shooting, you can't really get off him a lot, because he's got one of the quickest releases I've seen. But got to give respect to Colin Decker, number two. He's one of the fastest guys I've ever guarded, and obviously he had a big performance, 4 goals last weekend against UMBC, because he's just so fast. So I'm really glad he's on our team, and I'm not seeing him on Saturdays. But it's great to see him kind of growing into his role as an attackman, as he was just moved down there from the midfield. And he just keeps doing his thing.
All right, let's talk about Saturday then. This weekend on the road at Bryant, 6 p.m. start time. Now, look, this is obviously, you said it, it's a good conference.
Yep.
But you have the aspirations of winning it this year. I know that. What's it going to take? What are the things that in order to get to the kind of the top of the mountain there, you guys are going to need to be able to execute?
Yeah, I think it's just going to go week by week. That's one of the things we've been harping on in our team kind of meetings, is just day by day in practice, get better, and then we prepare each week for that Saturday matchup. So realistically, it's just a week by week thing, and if we keep treating every week how we did last week, the week before, and kind of prepare for games how we've been preparing, we're gonna trust in our processes, trust in our preparation, and then when the lights turn on, it's going to be time for us to go and prove ourselves. Obviously, there's a bad taste in our mouth from last year, and it's really shown in the offseason this year. That's the amount of work, the amount of buy-in, the amount of investment from this team. So it really just takes us to stay consistent and trust each other as we move forward into our second game of the conference.
Now, Bryant was number two in the preseason poll. You guys number three. Is that anything you even pay attention to, that preseason poll?
Not at all. Honestly, it's everyone, of course, sends it, and you see everyone's on social media, so you see it. But as our coach says, like, that stuff's rat poison. If we're one or we're eight, it really does not matter at all, because we still have to play every single team in the conference. So that's kind of one thing we look, and if we're high up, we kind of ignore it. If we're lower how we are, it's we use it as fuel. So I think it's a good kind of motivator, but it obviously doesn't matter, as we're moving into conference play, and it's you never know how things are going to go.
Can you give me just your kind of early impressions of Bryant and maybe what you remember about them from matching up with them the last couple of years?
Yeah, they're definitely a physical team for sure. They got a lot of big, strong defenders, and then their offense is a really dodge-heavy team. So they're going to really try to push the ball on their offense end and try to test our one-on-one matchups. And then defensively, it's not going to be able to kind of pass the ball around and hold the ball for too long. So we just got to be prepared for their defense to be pushing out, to be more physical than we might have seen, and then their offense to kind of be testing our one-on-one matchups. So kind of a transition from UMBC, who's more of the opposite, more of a finesse team. They're going to take their time in the shot clock, draw you out, run a set play. So it'll be a good two tests for us as we move into later in the conference, if we really want to go far in this playoffs.
All right, Jack Combs, thanks so much for joining us, man. Good luck on Saturday. And thanks for joining Catamount Insider.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Jack Combs for joining Catamount Insider this week. I was hoping to talk to Jack for a while now, and finally got the chance to sit down and hear about his background and just what makes him such a unique and special player. A difference maker on defense. The way he breaks plays up, he is an explosive type of defender. He can get his just paws on the ball, the lacrosse stick on the ball. He breaks plays up with his athleticism, and then is really a brute force in transition and in those face-off battles. He and Walter Zhao have formed a nice duo as the top wing to help out Zhao, who again is amongst the nation's best in face-off percentage so far this year. So I was glad to get the chance to sit down with Jack. Again, the Catamounts and Jack are taking on Bryant this weekend. It's 6 p.m. faceoff on Saturday. Head over to ESPN Plus and America East TV to check out all the action for Chris Fife's, Jack Combs, and UVM men's lacrosse, who hope to stay unbeaten against Bryant tomorrow. Thanks, folks, for tuning in this week. I'm Brian McLaughlin saying so long. This has been Catamount Insider.